Hello, beautiful human. Thanks for clicking on our conversation with Josh Richards. He is a TikTok star. He's an entrepreneur. He's a podcast star. He's a good guy. He got his podcast start on this podcast. I don't want to brag, but he'll discuss it. We're going to talk about Dave Portnoy and just TikTok life and what it means to be an entrepreneur and all the different businesses that he's a part of. Looking forward to catching up right now. Hi, beautiful human. We got Dan here. I'm Zach, and we welcome podcast king, investor king, Gen Z king, Canadian gem, Josh Richards.
Hey, that's an intro.
Yeah, dude, it's pretty freaking wild to see the ground that you have paved since you were actually on our couch with a few of your friends about, I mean, what is it now? A little over a year ago or something.
Yeah, about a year and a half.
Yeah, I think that was, you guys must have been one of the first Sway interviews that we did. So that would have been right at the beginning.
Is it fair to say maybe one of the first podcasts you ever did?
Yeah, it might. It's either first or second. The only person I think that might have had me on a podcast.
Tom Ward.
No, I think it's Jordan Belfort.
Oh, yeah. The Wolf of Wall Street. Casual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird one to start. I mean, it was a crazy pod to be my first, but yeah, hopped right in.
Well, like, let's just rehash what, because there's so much here to cover. We'll get to investments and silly bands and an interactive football league in a second. And then obviously you're working with Mark Wahlberg again, casual, but the podcast thing, you don't just have a podcast with El Presidente, but you're also on WFAN. You do a lot of other stuff. You're on a lot of podcasts. So, why has this medium been something that you want to take advantage of?
It adds so much depth to me as a person. And I think also it adds depth to my, like what you see, right? A lot of the times you're always seeing like 15 second bits of me, or you're seeing a YouTube video that's cut down 4 minutes and it's the most like high intensity action packed parts. So it's like with the podcast, people really get to see who Josh Richards is, or I think they get a little bit of a better feel of who Josh Richards is. And it just adds that sense of doing something more too than just being like a TikToker, right? It threw me into a different demo, which was amazing. And that was part of the goal. I mean, going and trying to branch out and get that male demo when TikTokers struggle with that usually. That was my goal with that. Like going over to Barstool, obviously a very bro-y content area. It's definitely like in the college, a little bit older of a demo too. So like I'm reaching for a demo I don't have. I'm trying to step in. And then Dave does the same, like with collabing with me, he gets intro to a different demo.
And you're shooting the with some of the best people to ever shoot the right? So, you know, with all due respect, at first, like it was a little rocky, you and Dave, but it's gotten really good.
You've gotten more
eloquent with your words, and you express yourself very freely.
Yeah, I think that's the coolest part, is that just as the podcast has been going on, we've started to know, like, work out any kinks or difficulties that was going. We added a co-host, like we brought in Brianna eventually. That was Dave's idea, actually, so credit to him. And just always doing, like, these little things. And that's what, I mean, Barstool is really good at, is just doing this, like, almost like live plug and play, where they're like switching out, they're bringing in different guests, or they're bringing in different games, or they're creating different types of content for the podcast, and they see how people react to it. And it's like, as it goes on, it gets better and better.
I mean, pretty scary to go from creating something that's 60 seconds to being able to talk unfiltered for an hour. And everything you say is essentially historic record.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's a mindset change, right? When we all film together, and we've gotten in trouble for this before, but we often wouldn't try to filter ourselves, right? So we would be saying whatever we want when we filmed our vlogs, and then just told our editor, we were like, yeah, just obviously cut that part out.
Edit around
it. We thought we had like this leeway of never getting like exposed from that or whatever, but I accidentally uploaded a 27-minute raw footage clip instead of my YouTube video one day. And it was just like all this stuff that we talk about in between cuts, like everything in that video. I checked like social media, I think like 30 minutes after the video, because I knew it was like there was some drama involved. So I thought like, oh, this might get posted on some shade rooms. And I see like Keo, walk out from the downstairs, and he's like looking at me through the glass door room, and I'm having like a meeting, and he's like pointing at his phone and kind of like, what the heck, or like laughing, and I'm taking it as like, oh, he likes my video. So I'm like pointing at him from inside of me. I'm like, ah, my man, like, ah, my guy. And then I get out of the meeting, go in a shade room. Their recent 12 videos that they posted on their account were just clips from my YouTube video. And it was just like, I tap one of them. I'm like, I don't remember posting this. I don't remember leaving this in the video. Something is up. And yeah, it wasn't a great day.
So what do we learn from this experience? That you need to be on at all times? That you need what? Or you need to not
fuck up file names? That I needed to hire an editor. I needed to hire an editor, bro. I was not a creator and an editor. I'm not David Dobrik. So I hired an editor after that, and then that helped me a lot.
Well,
never posted something again.
What do you see yourself as today? Like, do you consider yourself a creator at this point, or are you just an executive entrepreneur?
It's getting to the point where I see myself a lot more as the entrepreneur than I do the social media creator. And I think for a really long time, that was kind of, it wasn't a battle. It was just like, which one was it necessarily going to be, or where was I going to find my passions? And I think that with the last year of working, or last really like 8 months of going crazy, I found that to be the entrepreneur side, and to focus more on that, and just like the content I can create around it too, and the opportunities it gives me to create just in different ways, like the production company, for example, right? When I go and I'm like either hearing pitches about shows, or we're creating a format and creating the show, like that's still me getting to do my thing and create that content, and hopefully either, you know, put a smile on someone's face, or make them cry, or make them do whatever. Just get those reactions from people from the content.
So, does a deal like that come about because you have a large audience? Is it because you have great show ideas that Mark Wahlberg's production company just needs to, you know, get going? What is it like? And do you like how does that deal come to be? What is it built off of?
Yeah, I think that a big thing is definitely like how I position myself. I mean, I'm not holding myself to the same level, I think, as a lot of these like TikTokers. I think that some of them think that they're like top, and honestly, they could take like a little bit of like an ego check and just start really doing the work. Like, I feel too many people in social media really grab onto that talent mindset where it's everyone serves me, everyone's my assistant or lackey or yes man. And that's what happens to a lot of creators. They fall into that and they don't really want to do the work. They don't want to, you know, type up a deck or a doc, yeah, or go do the research. And it's like, that's what you got to do. And I've been doing that. So that's a little bit what was able to separate me, and I think get people's attention, like Mark and Archie Gibson, the people over at Unrealistic Ideas. That only happened because of what we've been able to do on the business side and with Michael helping me for the last 7, 8, 9 months.
And by the way, I think you bring up something so important, right? Like, that is what separates you from the pack, which is like, everybody thinks these things just happen. But the truth is, like, there's so much, there's like pre production work that is,
yeah,
creating these decks in addition to creating the ideas. It's like figuring out how to convey what that is and sell it properly. I mean, there's so much work involved behind
and the amount of ideas that don't ever even, like, no one will see the light. Yeah. Like, it won't see the light of day. You know what I mean? It will be 6, 7 of us that look at it. Someone spent probably an hour plus typing it up, doing work on it, and then it's like gone. And that's like multiple times a day, multiple different, you know what I mean? So it definitely adds up. I think that there just needs to be a change in the mentality of the creator game. And it's slowly starting to happen. Like, you see people doing these really crazy new big things. If it's, you know, my production company with Mark, or Logan getting into NFTs, or there's always going to be like the future of the game. And I think this is it.
Hey, beautiful human. I got to hit pause real quick to tell you about my favorite deodorant, Native. It is not only the best deodorant out there, it's good for you. It's good for me. And it's good for the universe, you see. It's vegan, never tested on animals. Plus, they have plastic-free bottles now. How amazing is that? Plastic-free deo, baby. It is the present. It is the future. With over 10 scents that are guaranteed to make your nose dance, I'm telling you, Native is for you. Hello. Try it out now. You get 20% off. NativeDeo.com/Zach. Go there. Risk-free shopping. If you don't like it, make exchanges. Make returns. Don't worry. Just go to NativeDeo.com/Zach. This is citrus and herbal musk, but I am a big lavender and rose guy. These are the scents, by the way. I also love coconut and vanilla. Oh, I smell delicious. So if you want to make people's nose dance, and if you want to protect yourself, eliminate odor, also keep your sweat in check, Native is for you. NativeDeo.com/Zach. Go there. And yeah, use my name, Zach, at checkout too, as a promo code. You'll get 20% off of your first order. NativeDeo.com/Zach. Well, I do want to get into what the production, what the future of a production company is, right? In terms of what platforms you're looking for, because it has changed. Like, you know, before, I don't want to date myself, but back in the day, you know, I've gotten 2 TV shows to pilot stage, and then I hosted 2 different pilots. None of them went to air, to validate your point of how much work goes into ideas and TV shows that you may never see. Yeah. Ever, but there's actually footage of them out there existing. So what is the future, right? And how are you poised to tackle that in a way that nobody else can?
Yeah, I think that one of the things is where we want to place the content, right? I think a lot of people think production company, movies, TV shows, they think like instantly theaters, and you're like on guide on TV going through like Family Channel, yeah, Disney.
Long form, right? Legacy.
Yeah, and I think what is missing, and one of the coolest parts about doing this production company, is we're really going to be the hub or home for syndicated content on places like Snap, or formatted content on places like Snapchat, and selling to the Facebook watches and YouTube originals, and going to more of that social media route that we see blowing up right now, where, I mean, my YouTube gets more views than TV channels, right? Mm-hmm. Or a lot of creators, TikTok's videos get more views than any TV that's out there. So why not start putting it, that content, or placing that content where the eyeballs are, right? And actually start to see where that goes. So I think that's definitely one.
Do you believe quality content has the power to sway the way a platform works, or has the power to kind of like build or establish a platform?
I think content is a huge play in any platform. So when you're getting something of quality, when you're getting that, like, it's bringing you back. If the content's quality, you're coming back to it, right? So that's helping the platform. And if you're continuously coming to that platform, the content's working. So quality content definitely is important.
But wouldn't Quibi prove that that might not be true? Because I'm sure there was a lot of good stuff on Quibi. They just couldn't make it work.
But I think when you talk about Quibi, they were trying to do something that already existed. Like, they were trying to create short form video content, and that was kind of already TikTok. It's like they were, or that was already kind of like Snapchat, right? Like, when you go to Snapchat and you go to Discovery, there's all these shows, all these different series, all these like complex sneaker shopping, Hot Ones. Yeah. You have like originals, right? Why would someone go and pay for that when I can just be on Snapchat scrolling through my stories and getting the exact same thing? Like, those are 5-minute shows, or 3 5-minute shows on Snap. And they were trying to play, I think, in a field that was just, there wasn't really a field to play in.
Totally. And also at the same time, like, their argument would be, well, we have quality content as opposed to, you know, Snapchat might not be as quality as to ours. We have scripted content, we have unscripted content. But ultimately, like, it was just a streaming service of content meant for people on the go, launching at a time where we literally all stopped. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the story, and they spent all their money. They blew all their on ridiculous stuff that didn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, the like budgets for the shows and everything, yes. It was crazy. Like, the amount of money they were throwing into it was ridiculous.
Josh, what kind of content are you guys looking to create?
We're definitely looking to focus on the unscripted content, but we have the ability to do both, and definitely want to do both. I think docuseries are going to definitely be a huge one, and a big focus, wanting to do stuff, you know, in the sports world, focusing a little bit in the mental health space for sure. Want to get something done in there with a docuseries. But yeah.
Fascinating. I really look forward to the future of this, and I want to get into sports because obviously it matters to you. You're investing in an interactive football league. What is that? Why do we care? Why do we need this?
Fan-controlled football league. I mean, it's the first ever pro sports league that is allowing the fans to really have control and a say in what happens with rules and who's on the actual field, what plays are being called. And like, as you start to make more and more play calls, you get more of a carry, even like when you go and vote down what the coach should be pick between the next three plays, like for your team. So I think that, it's like,
this is
every dad, every son, and like that relationship or that daughter, dad, daughter, mom, son, like son relationship where they're like watching TV, yelling at the screen together. Like I did that growing up. I remember me and my dad being beside each other, yelling at players or coaches. And then you get up and you start clapping when the play's right. And you're so invested in it. And half the time you're telling them like, I could have done better than you. Like I would have known the play to call. Well, now you can do it. Right. So those times when you're like complaining about a coach's play, it's like that's on you now. And you actually get to make those decisions and see like, oh, am I actually smart enough to, you know, make these calls? Or I think it makes it really fun.
So there's less thinking on the part of the athlete or the coach, right? Because they're essentially just executing what their fans want.
I mean, I think that it's definitely a little bit of both. If there's, you know, the coach is throwing up three plays, they're deciding the three plays they possibly want to run, and then you go and decide out of the three. Or if there's a scramble always in football, right? So that's where you get to see the skill of the players when they got that improvise like that. But I think the league's awesome. I think what it's doing is super cool, and where it's going, it's definitely changing the digital age in sports. It's going to be wild.
That's so fascinating. And like rather like gnarly, right? The idea that you can control who's on the field and the destiny of
so great and like great players too. Like Johnny Manziel is in the league, right? Like imagine like calling Johnny Manziel's shots. That's ridiculous.
Now what is it? Is it like an app you have to download and you kind of click the plays and whatever one gets the most votes, that's what they do?
Yeah, I mean there's the app, and then I think there's also a way to go through Twitch and do it while watching the live stream.
Oh, that's so cool.
Why Silly Bands, yo? Silly Bands, like, do you remember Silly Bands growing up? Are you even old enough to remember Silly Bands?
Yeah, man. I actually have them on the wrist. But
sick. Cool colors. It matches.
I didn't even mean to do that, but it really does. Like, it's actually the perfect, like, colorway for my hoodie. That's crazy. I remember going to the schoolyard, like, on a day-to-day basis and trading Silly Bands, like Pokemon cards. It was a recess game. You would go out, you're trying to get the multicolored or tie-dye or one with the sparkles in it or something, or glow-in-the-dark. I remember those ones were always really hard to get. I remember sitting there trading. Like, my sister only had one Silly Band, and she felt bad, and, like, she was sad. She was a year younger. She is a year younger than me. And I went into this big group of everyone trading, and I grabbed her Silly Band and went in with it and traded and ended up like getting five or six of them and able to give her to her at the end of recess. And she was like stoked about it. But it's just such a nostalgic thing for me.
So why do we need them today? I know it's nostalgia for you, but is there a craving? Like, is there collectible Silly Bands? Like what is the trend that we're calling?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely can lie in that category of, like, collectibles. There's been a lot of Silly Bands made where the deal got canceled after, or so they're, like, super hard to find, or they started manufacturing and they were only able to get, like, 1,000 bands made, and then for some reason production stopped, right? So there's all these super rare ones or these bands that have kind of gotten this value to them because of a show they're on or the story behind them, or, you know, like recently you see people in the Kardashian family starting tweeting about it again. So I definitely think that there's a space for it.
So, like, what is this? Do you have a piece of Silly Bands? Are you an investor? Are you an advisor?
Yeah, it was an M&A. So we actually went and bought part of Silly Bands. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is there different – obviously, you have different investments, right? So what is the Interactive Football League then?
That's more of an angel investment, right? That's coming out of, like, my own capital. But yeah, we either are doing – it's either a mixture of an angel or soon getting more into, like, the fund, doing fund stuff. So that would be sick. And then finally, like, we'll get advisories, but usually we're also investing. We love to invest when we get advisory as well, just because we want to actually have skin in the game. Like, yeah. We want to care about it, right? We want to invest in something we're passionate about and want to take seriously. So,
well, Josh, has your audience started to change after all these new, you know, investments and things you're getting into? Because I would assume before you were just a bunch of young girls because you were a TikTok star, but it seems like you completely shed that image.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the goal. I definitely have had a little bit of a demo change. It swung into the male demographic a little bit more. Like, for example, the podcast has more guys subscribed to it than girls. So my podcast has a larger male demographic than it does female, but it's definitely a crazy change, because I'm used to, you know, going out of a restaurant and seeing 14 to 18 year old girls usually, and like the screaming and all that. And then recently it's been changing. Like a couple nights ago, I walk out of Boa, and it's just this like fat group of guys. It's only guys. There are no girls at all. And I'm like, I didn't even think anything of it at first. I was just like walking by, like to leave the restaurant. Didn't think they would know me. And like, they all turn around and they're like, Josh, what a goat. Like you're a legend, man. Like, yo, take a picture. I'm like, this is sweet. This is wicked. Like to have, it's just cool to have like guy fans or fans that I would seem like, oh, I could be like boys with them. You know what I mean?
Hang out with them.
Yeah, exactly. They're acting the same as me. Like they're probably in some frat or going to college or just living like some normal life stuff. So that's always cool to see that demo change. And been the craziest one was when I was in Miami, and this like 35 year old guy, maybe like 38 40, starts like walking up to me, just like staring at me, dead staring at me at this like party get together thing. I don't know, this was like a while ago. And starts walking up to me and he's staring like dead into my eyes. I'm like, oh boy. Like, here's another sway story. Awesome. Josh Richards gets jumped by 40-year-old man at Miami party. I was like, this is great. I was like, this is going to be so awesome. And then he comes up to me. He's like, you're Josh Richards? I'm like, yeah. Who are you? And he was, I forget what the guy's name was, but he ends up like saying like he was a huge fan of the podcast. He had seen the stuff I was doing with Barstool. And that was like the first time anyone had come up that was like in the male demo from Barstool, like from that podcast. And I was just sitting there like, oh, okay, perfect. Thank God. As long as I'm not getting my ass beat, like, I'm happy. But it was, yeah, it was, it's definitely a cool little change.
Why you? Have you asked yourself that throughout this journey so far?
Yeah, definitely. I've been confused before, or kind of wondered why is it me that's, you know, got this opportunity and blown up and not like one of my friends, or why didn't someone go pro in a sport in my town instead of me, like make it out for social, you know what I mean? Like there's always these like it. But the other thing is, I knew that this was going to be me since I was 7 years old. Like I've known Josh Richards would be a name that everybody knew since I was in a bunk bed, right? So if, for me, it's like something I've always, and that sounds so weird, but it was like every night before I went to bed, as long as I can remember, I say seven because that's about as far back as I can remember doing it. But I remember going to bed and praying for like two things when I was 7 years old every single night consistently. And that was that my name, Josh Richards, would be known, and I was going to be more than just a normal kid. Like, I knew it. I had this feeling in my stuff, like, you couldn't tell me otherwise. At first, I thought, like, maybe it was, like, I was going to be a pro sports player. I thought I was going to be an NHL guy. But I always knew that name would be out there, no matter what. And then the other thing I prayed for when I was seven was, like, that Ben 10 watch was getting made on my wrist when I was sleeping, but that didn't pan out. So I think God blessed me with the other one.
And by the way, like, that's not crazy. I totally understand that. And I know people who have felt the same way, you know, like I think it's not for everybody, but sometimes when you're younger, there's a defining moment where you realize, like I can think back to a moment where I realized when I was maybe 8 or 9 that I was going to be on the radio, and that's all I wanted to do in my life. And that was,
right, dude.
And from there, all I did was manifest it in different ways, you know, whether it was actively working towards the goal, there was always some sort of, whether it was praying or speaking it or, you know what I mean? There's always something being put out there into the universe.
Yeah.
I want to ask a question about the new male audience that you've kind of gathered. Does that change how you create and the content you put out there on your YouTube channel and your TikTok?
Yeah, definitely. So as I start going down, I mean, it's something I've done so many times in my career. It's pivoting, right? Yeah. When you start to I'm growing up as a person and as an individual. So my likes and what I want to post and what I want to stand for is also changing a little bit because of that, right? I'm just like growing up. So I think as I grow up though, my fans are also growing up. So I need to be able to make sure that I'm like staying entertaining for them, because I've had fans be a fan of me since they were 14 and they're now 18, right? Like same as myself. Like I started this when I was only 15, 16 years old, so 14 years old. So, I mean, they've grown up with me in a sense. And that's why I always got to be careful. I always got to make sure I'm pivoting or moving on in my content. And that's why I'm trying to focus a lot in the sports world right now with doing, like you mentioned at the start, WFAN, doing Carlin and Roberts, getting in the Barstool world. I mean, my second TikTok account has become a little bit more of a sports page, where if I'm just like joking around about sports betting or talking about takes that I have with players and whose team I got winning or whatever it is.
Is that why you've kind of stopped doing the TikTok? I know you did one recently, but it seems like there was a big gap. Did you pivot away from that?
Yeah, that recent one wasn't even TikTok. That was just like a sit down video of Sway Assumptions. That was just, obviously there were a lot of assumptions going on around Sway, and that's kind of like one of those main sit down videos that accounts will do. So I was like, oh, this is a perfect time to whip out a Sway addresses rumors like surrounding the name. But TikTok wasn't shut down because of that. And honestly, I think TikTok is probably one of the series or content that I could make adapt really well to the male audience and that they could like actually watching, even though it has to do with TikTok. But the other thing is I'm not going to just like desert my audience I already have. So there's that side to it too, where it's like, I'm so appreciative for what got me here. And I need to make sure that I'm never the guy that's like turning my back on my own supporters or turning my back on the people that got me to this point. Right. Like I got to make sure I'm still supplying them with content they want and finding that like happy medium.
Well, that's what I'm, you know, I have been wondering. It's like, you know, how much do you want your fans to buy? Like, we got to buy some silly bands. We got to buy some Annie Energy. We got to buy a blanket. I'm like keeping an active list. I'm now going to join this interactive football league. But it's really not that. This is not an endorsement deal for you. So it's a different level of commitment between you and the brand, correct? It's not like you're pushing tummy time tea or something.
No, yeah, it's a lot more authentic than that, I think. There's a huge message that we try to push out every single day, or myself and Griffin, especially with Michael, and that's financial literacy, right? So every single investment we make, no matter really, like, I mean, smart investments, when we're investing, that's us, like, teaching that, or I guess preaching that action, right? We're going and actually doing it. We're not just like sitting here talking about how it's important to invest your money or that you should not spend whatever. We're being authentic. So every time we invest in companies, it's spreading that message and really teaching, hopefully, our fans, or giving them some context or getting them at least interested, right? At least now they're hearing about investing in angel and venture and all this, and maybe they, even if 1 out of 10, 1 out of 100, 1 out of 1,000, like 3 people out of all my followers, they go and look up investing and get into it, or they start learning about how to education, like they start learning about money, then I've done a great job.
Aren't you guys into a bank, some sort of like a bank for younger people? Like, is that accurate?
I invested in Step, yeah.
Yeah, that is a bank for young people, and it teaches financial literacy, which, by the way, I totally agree with. And yes, obviously, people should know about what it means to be an investor and angel investing. But, like, you know, let's start with, like, what it means to have a debit card and how to pay your taxes. And
or even more important,
401ks,
like,
Roth IRAs.
Exactly, 401ks. And that's why we invested in LendTable. Like, that was one of our first ever investments, was that they're a 401k matchup company. And it's like, the fact that kids don't understand that even if they spent $3 less a day on their favorite coffee, right? They don't go to Starbucks. They go and get it at, I don't know, some cheaper coffee place, Dunkin' Donuts or something. And they save $3 a day. Them putting that away, like when you talk about compounded interest, when you talk about the money they're going to make off that, when you talk about 30 years down the line, like, that's how people have accounts when they're 50 that have like $1 million in them, $2 million in them, and you have like a fat retirement saving. Yeah. But people don't think about that $3. They're like, ah, it's nothing, right? Like, but they justify that every single time. And it's like over and over and over. And they don't start thinking long term. And it's the same with the creator world. And what I'm trying to do to change it is like the traditional creator or the traditional brand deal for creators is post something, I'll give you $10,000 or whatever the number is. And then it's over. And then that brand continues to do well. They you know, got boosted off their likeness. Why would they pay you $10,000 if they weren't going to make more than $10,000 off that promo?
Totally. Everything's going to be margin, like by 80% at a minimum. So,
right. Like, yeah. So when you think about that, then it doesn't make sense for you to be doing those brand deals when you can own the product yourself, or you can create it, or you can go in on the back end and actually get equity. Like, some of the best advice I was ever told by Ashton Kutcher was, if I had taken equity in every single brand deal I ever did, I'd be a billionaire by now. And sure. Like, the reason he's not is because of taking cash, and that attraction that creators have to the instantaneous, like, dollar.
So I read that from Forbes that you make like $1.9 million last year or a year before, or something like that. You were on the list of the highest paid TikTok stars. How much out of that are you putting into investments? Like, what do you – and I mean, let's not even talk about Roth IRAs and, you know, discs, whatever you're putting your money into. I'm talking more about like businesses, tangible like brands that exist in the world that are producing something.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm doing a lot of it. I try to keep enough cash just so that I can, you know, buy food when I need it, keep the lights on and pay bills. Like, I don't really believe in having a bunch of cash on hand or in a bank account, because even if I have my money in a bank account, I'm still losing money as inflation and, you know, the dollar and everything like that. Like, it's, I think that's also one of the most like miscommunicated things that parents like teach or leave onto their kids, is like, don't spend your money, right? They say like, save your money, save your money, save your money. And like, that can be as dumb as spending. It's, you gotta know where to spend your money. You gotta know how to spend your money. You gotta know how to use it, right? If you just save your money, it's like, it's not really that great.
Well, the house wins, right? So if it sits in a bank account, all it's going to do is just have fees be hit against it, and it's not going to move.
Well, nope.
Josh, what do you think when you see some of these other social media stars like get a big check and they go spend it on a Lambo?
I think that they're going to be the creators that will forget in a year, probably. And like, that's the sad truth, honestly. If you're taking a check right now, when you are in this point of your career where like you're growing still, or you're like, no one knows how long social media life lasts, right? You have lightning in the bottle. That's a fact. No one can tell me that, like, oh, I'm going to last 3 more years. Here's a fact. Why? No one can say that. You don't know who's going to pull up what on you. You don't know when you're going to get canceled. You don't know what's going to happen. Like, this world is crazy, right? It's the Wild West. So when you're taking money like that and just blown, like, I mean, you're kind of just asking not to be financially stable after social media.
Well, not financially stable, or you get sucked into this cycle where you have to like create a certain type of content because you feel like that's going to generate money so you can survive, because you've blown everything on stupid material things.
Yep, definitely. Well, I mean, Or you just start to sell out, right? Like, your page becomes a billboard, and then what happens after that is, oh, 3 months down the line, everyone just stops messing with you and liking your content, because all they see is ads now, and they're tired of it, right? So it's definitely something that like people gotta start paying attention to, is like what they're doing with their money. And I think that's why I Griff, myself, the Sway Boys, Michael, like, we're trying to pave that path a little more and really saying, like, look, equity is the way to go. Start being smarter and owning what you're touching as a creator, because as soon as like the acting world did it, right? How many actors have alcohol now?
Yeah, everybody's got a tequila brand or a vodka.
What?
But our favorite is long drink, isn't it, Josh? Our favorite is long drink.
Long drink is our favorite, is the best. Miles Teller has done it beautifully with Evan Burns. But
chef's kiss.
That like, it's like they it slowly starts to adapt, right? Like the first person does it, and there's the Casamigos story and all this, and then the world comes to be, right? Like then they see after the, oh, there's been $3 billion exits. Okay, now we can go and do it. It's like people are scared, right? They're scared of that new, and slowly I think the creator world will adapt. But if you get on it now, I mean, you're gonna be a pioneer of it instead of someone following.
I think you could say the same for TikTok houses. Like, you guys came and the hype house 100%. Was there, and now everybody tried to do it, but it's like nobody cares about it anymore.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the thing is like when we go and invest, we're getting headlines for investing, right? As these social media TikTok stars investing in companies, like, what? This is crazy. This has never happened before. In 6 months, 8 months, a year, press isn't going to go out about, there won't be the, oh, a TikToker has invested, like, no, because it's not the first, right? That's like what, I mean, we try to do. We try to create these huge what the moments that people are going to be shocked at. And that's like the production company, right? Now that I've become this first social media creator or TikToker, I don't know, to open a production company with an A-list actor like Mark Wahlberg, the next time it's going to happen, it's just not going to get as much press. People aren't going to, once it's done once, people just don't care as much anymore.
Well, that brings me to a very interesting point, which is not all creators are created equal. So the concept of everybody deserving equity is false. Some people deserve the margin friendly ad buy, correct? And
for sure.
Like,
but know, I mean, I think that goes into knowing. So how we like to do it, right, is like we follow license, endorse, own, this thing called Leo, right? And it's like you got to make sure you're doing all three, and that there's like these buckets that are being filled, let's say, with money, right? Like you want these buckets to be kind of equal, or maybe I like to personally have my bucket on the longevity, like in owning things. I like that bucket to be a little more full, but we're always trying to make sure, you know, we're doing a licensing deal that's like for our likeness, and we don't really have to do a lot with it, right? Like, oh, they go and do it. We're making money off of it. It's pretty easy. And then there's the brand deal, which is like, it's not really a lot of work, maybe a little tedious to do a post every once in a while, but you're getting that instant cash. And then what we do with that cash is we're able to supply the other bucket, which is this long-term bucket, and owning things and funding projects. And so it's definitely, and there's deals where we get equity and cash, right? So there's the both as well. I think that it's just knowing to really fill those buckets and follow that. I think that's what we've done and it works.
I also think you made a really good point when you talked about you don't know how long the social media thing will last, because I mean, there was obviously this huge boom over the summer when everyone was stuck in their house, but now like half those people, you know, the people you saw every day, you don't even hear about them anymore. And it's just, you know, 5-6 months later.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is like, you probably forget about the other half of them that, you know what I mean? Like there's probably a whole other half that we don't even remember about at all. And it's like, that's the crazy part. Every summer this happens. Every single summer. I've been on social media for like 4 years now, and I've witnessed it. There's groups that blow up in the summer. They're the talk. Everyone just wants to talk about them. They're huge, right? It usually lasts for four months after the summer, maybe 2 months after the summer. We saw this difference and an even bigger blow up this year because of COVID, obviously. But it's usually that summer and then a little bit following, and then it's like a reset next year. And it's like on to the next group every single summer. It's this like brand new group, brand new group, brand new group. And then there's a few people that stay, right? Like there's the FaZe group that's been able to stay for a while, and the Paul brothers. And then now Sway's been around for 2 years, and Hype House has been around for a while. So you start to see like slowly there's going to be groups that fall off and new groups are going to start. And yeah, it's definitely a little bit of that history repeats itself.
What do you think of accountability in the creator field? Because there is such a personal relationship, I think the screen and the phone is so intimate and personal, there's a real relationship that forms with, you know, the person on the other side of the screen. And there are some creators that, for some reason, exist and continue to exist without even having to acknowledge, in some cases, grave wrongdoings, right? Like,
right.
Like legal wrongdoings.
Right.
How does one rationalize that?
It's just like such a broken... It's, yeah, I mean, it's just broken. Like, the whole idea of like cancel culture, and then, but you got to hold people accountable. It's all messed up, because what ends up happening is you see these people that actually do something terrible, right? Like, they actually did something not great and should be held accountable for it, and they get to walk, right? They get to slide.
Well, in some cases, then, not just walk, but like thrive.
Yeah, yeah. And they actually somehow come out of it like as this like victim, because everyone's just like trying to can't, right? But then what else you see is like, then people get canceled over literally these silliest things.
Nothing.
Like, something that makes no sense at all, should not be an issue. Every single person does it. It's like, you know what I mean? And it's like, how are we supposed to justify holding anyone accountable when we let these people that actually do terrible things just walk, because they're social media influencers and we like them more. And then when an influencer does something that's not really that bad, but, you know, maybe there's just a group that doesn't really like them. There's just, you know, they just have haters. They're going to be like, yeah, we can cancel them. And that's how it's going to be, just because they're not as liked, or they – it's such a messed up space for that. And I don't know if it's going to change. I just – it's crazy.
The scale of social media justice is so skewed. And
I mean, everyone thinks they're right as well. That's a problem.
Well, but then there's some situations –
you have all these
situations...
people behind their phones that are like, apparently everyone behind their phone is like some model citizen. I've never met so many people that have never sinned in my life than when I've been on social media. It's crazy. It's crazy. Everyone is perfect on social media, except for you. You're the only one that isn't. That's what you got to know as a social media influencer. You're the only one that's not perfect. Everyone else is.
This WFAN thing is a pretty big deal. I mean, I know WFAN because it is one of the strongest AM radio station signals in the world, but it's also the most iconic sports radio station to, I mean, it's like WFAN, WEEI in Boston, maybe the fan in Philly. Like, there's only a couple historic radio stations in the sports genre, and WFAN leads the pack.
So yeah.
Why does Mark Chernoff sign off on this? Why does Carton want you there? How does this happen? What did Michael Gruen do?
Yeah, no. So I had talked for a while. It had been probably a good 2 months, 3 months, where I really had been telling Michael and just the people we work with that I was really wanting to get into the sports world. I was wanting to dive in more. It's what I grew up doing. Like, when I was a 12-year-old kid, you could have named a sports player, and I could have read you his stats for the last 3 years in hockey, right? I could have told you how many goals, assists, minutes. Like, it was crazy. That's what I did. So I just want to get back in that world, is what I was telling him. And then with my PR team, Michael got talking to them, and they, I believe, made the intro actually to Carton and Roberts. Scott on the phone, started talking with them. We just kind of like vibed. It was a great talk. And then We did one hit on the radio. We did one thing or one segment together, and then like it just went well, so we continued it.
So is that a long-term goal? Do you want to be a Dan Patrick? Do you want to be a Colin Cowherd? Like, what's your deal?
I love the idea of being like Pat McAfee show is sick. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
I would consider him in the same vein as Colin, but he does his own version of it. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I think just viewed in like the sports entertainment social media world is definitely somewhere I want to be. It's just, it's going to take time. It's like breaking I love doing this, but it's like breaking a stigma, right? There's stigmas around TikTokers that they are like, at first the stigma that Sway broke was like the partying thing. I think we talked about it when we came on the show last, like the first time when the whole group of Sway came on, we were talking about how there's no TikTokers that are authentic. They care all about their brand too much. They're not honest and transparent with their fans. They tell them one thing and then me and all the boys will see them 2 days later doing exactly what they preach not to do, right? So our whole idea at the start was like, we're going to be authentic as we can and show everything. And that might have low-key made us a little bit not authentic because we started overdoing it. But it's like, that's just part of the importance, I think, being that authentic person.
Well, and yeah, and to evolve as you evolve and to mature as you mature, you have a long life ahead and you clearly plan on living it somewhere in the social media spotlight.
Yeah. So if we were able to be hella authentic then and break some stigmas, I'm thinking we can do it again with TikTokers and not being able to like play sports or know about sports. So,
well, Josh, speaking of being authentic, what do you learn from working with Dave Portnoy? Because I mean, he's probably the most authentic person you'll ever meet in your life.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think probably the easiest lesson to learn from him is like, don't ever sugarcoat anything, right? It might as well be as upfront as you can with people or just give it to them how it is, kind of tell the truth. And that's what I respect about him is he's gonna state his opinion and what he thinks about something. And he really does not care if you think differently or who you are or how much money you have or what like position you're in or who, like he doesn't care. He's going to tell you what he thinks. He's open to the combo about it and open to maybe you convincing him otherwise, but probably won't happen.
Are you ever worried on the podcast? Because I actually do. I watch the videos cause I think they're great. I mean, you two together is awesome. Are you ever worried? Cause I know there was the Bryce issue that happened in the show that, you know, there was a little drama. Are you worried that the podcast could cause rifts between you and other people, or you just have to kind of say, you know, this is the show we're doing, this, it's going to happen?
So, like, for me personally, I'm someone that has thick skin, right? And it's like, when I look at social media and what I do in social media, like, part of my image and career is, like, the drama section, right? T-Talk, that's always been something that's, like, been very established with me. And I've never been someone that seriously has reported about it, right? I'm not like they're saying this person needs to be canceled, they're terrible, like they went and did this and that, let me break the news. I was always the guy that was talking about subjects that were already in the public eye. They were like information that was already out there, and then it was really comedic, right? It's either making fun of the situation, trying to bring light. So when I go on that show, it's like, oh, I'm cracking jokes, I'm trying to be funny at least. And it's not supposed to be taken as an insult or a dig. And I mean, I get made fun of on the podcast all the time, right? I'm not sitting there like tearing up about it. I'm just like, hey, that's the game.
What does it mean to have companionship during everything you got going on? Like, does your relationship with Nessa grow stronger through all this? Is it harder?
I mean, definitely stronger. I think for sure. Like having somebody that you're able to connect with or talk to, or, you know, like at the end of the day, share your story or just vent to, is definitely important. And I mean, I have that in her. I have that in people like Jaden and even like Michael and Griff. I think the only difference is I work all day with Michael and Griff. So sometimes it's like, hey, I need a little break from you boys.
Do you feel like you're being the best version of yourself every day?
I think that I could definitely be better. I think I could always be better. I think that's why I'm here on this earth, right? Is like to improve every single day and become a better person. So as long as I keep doing so, I would say yeah.
What do you learn from Michael Gruen so far? What's your biggest takeaway?
Biggest takeaway? Wow. I mean, first off, I've pretty much learned everything from Michael Gruen. That guy is like a book of knowledge. It's unreal. But I think the importance of equity and entrepreneurship, and really even more than that, the importance of a business partner and having someone that like has your back fully and will ride and die for you. And you can just trust fully in your work. I think that's something that not a lot of people are able to find in social media. Or just any industries, really, is that work companion that they can fully trust and know, you know, they're never going to take advantage of you or rip you off or do some shady deal. And that's like Michael for me. So I'm very fortunate to find that.
I mean, having that person really changes the way you navigate. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I mean, it allows you to work, I feel like, a little bit more stress free, except Michael makes up for the stress with just, like, you know, yelling at me or whatever. So
I feel like his haters on the internet, they only hate him because they ain't him.
Right. Yeah. It's a little bit of a hate us because they ain't us
type energy.
Yeah.
Josh, how do you and Nessa ever discuss, like, how much you should put on the internet? Because I know you want to keep it private, but at the same time, when you do post with Nessa, you see how big those numbers are.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's something that I don't like to think about, really, because I don't want, anytime I'm posting with friends or, like, especially, like, when it gets a little bit more complicated, to be posting in making that the relationship, right? Making it transactional. I think that it just like wrecks the beauty of it. I try to, like, if me, you know, me and Ness are just like hanging out doing something goofy and I like put on the camera and film it, like sometimes I just have like videos that we'll film together that never get posted, right? It's just like a draft that goes in my videos, but sometimes they'll be like hella funny, so I'm like, okay, I'm gonna post this one on the internet just because of this, that, and the other. But, like, for example, when we were, like, I think just goofing around singing or something, and I was videoing it, and then, like, I'm raising the camera, and all of a sudden, all the dogs just start, like, humping each other. All three of the dogs. Like, Buddy, my dog, is just, like, on the bottom, and she's, like, trying to, like, play fight with Ness's dog. And then Ness's dog just, like, gets right on his face and just is, like, face humping him. And then the other dog joins in after, and it was just, like, what the heck just happened in the span of 2.5 seconds on this video. But yeah, just like moments like that.
You are a very, very busy man. I know you have things to do. Time is money. There's silly bands to sell.
True.
There's a lot of things going on. So we'll let you go in a second. Final thoughts, Daniel?
No, I just think it's cool to see how, you know, you guys were all on the couch here a year and a half ago, but it's crazy to see like how different everybody's lives kind of went from that day.
Yeah. It is definitely crazy. I mean, back then, Jaden was a social media influencer, right?
And, yeah, now he's huge.
Yeah, he's a rock star.
Yeah. And I mean, you go back and you see, like, I don't even know if Quentin was there yet. Was Quentin?
No. Quentin wasn't here. Noah wasn't here.
It's like it was a whole different world. It's crazy. It's definitely crazy. I think it's cool. It's actually awesome to see that all the boys have kind of been able to take that push that Sway gave us, or that leverage Sway gave us, and utilize that to benefit their careers, right? Whatever it is, if that's like me going into the entrepreneurial world, Jaden having a in-house distribution system with his fans for music, right? And then Bryce becoming like the entertainment guy, the, like, that's who he wants to be, right? That YouTuber. I think it's like, it's cool to see everyone going down those paths.
You are a very smart man. Thank you for sharing your energy and time. I think our show would benefit from Josh Richards coming in and like doing an overhaul of what we do and how we operate.
Yeah.
I think you could really can change some stuff around here. I mean, we're no Triller, but you know,
might have to come in, do some operating.
Yeah, we have no budget to pay you anything.
Perfect.
I know Triller gives you a car and a house. Like In-N-Out, maybe?
Right, okay. I mean, man's got to eat.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time, dude. You have a lot going on. What's left in your day? What do you have next?
It's calls. I like, usually on, today's a Tuesday, right?
Yes.
If I'm mistaken. Yeah, Tuesdays are our podcast days, and like I do founder calls. So if I'm meeting with founders to invest, if I'm meeting with company CEOs, whatever, but it's usually a lot of like meetings.
What's the next trend? What's going on? What's bubbling in the streets?
I think that there's going to be a new type of influencer that is seen very soon. And it's like not going to be an influencer that's a influencer because of like their abs or because they're like dancing in front of a camera really well. It's going to be an age where we start seeing these influencers pop up that are actually intellectuals. And I think that's going to happen because of Clubhouse. So
Look at that. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
You heard it here first, friends. I agree with you. I think Clubhouse is going to be something big.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, it is already big, but you know, it's still very a private community. It's not what it's going to be at its peak by any means.
No, for sure. It's going to be crazy.
I appreciate your time, dude. Thank you for talking to us always. And yeah,
thank you for having me.
A special human being, you and Michael Gruen. Love to you both.
Dude, thank you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate you. I'll talk to you later.
Later, Josh.
All right. Later, guys. Talk to you guys both. Peace.
Hey, beautiful human, thanks for joining our conversation with Josh Richards. I appreciate it. Who should we talk to next? Who are you listening to? Let me know. At Zach Sang on any form of social media. Please be safe, hug your family if you can, and don't go to jail. Love, peace, and love. I'll talk to you soon.